Amen. How many of you are excited to be alive today? Lift your hands and shout a big hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you can with me in the next 30 seconds, lift your right hand and tell God something. Now, 30 seconds. 25 seconds more. 20 seconds. 15. 10 seconds. I'm not hearing you. 7 seconds. Use the last 5 seconds and pour your heart to him now. Come on, let's do it. Go ahead, take extra 30 seconds. Take extra 30 seconds. Pour your heart to the King of Kings, the God of Abundance. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' precious name. Can that amen be better?
Amen.
Can that amen be a little louder?
Amen.
Praise the name of the Lord. Pick your Bibles with me. I just want to read one portion of the scripture and I say what God is putting in my spirit. I love to stand while I'm reading. If you can, just for a few more seconds. And I want to do Genesis chapter 7. Can we all stand as we read? I want to honor God with his word this morning. If you can, if you're not crippled, then you're not lame, stand. Genesis chapter 7, verse 12. And it rained, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. Lift your right hand. I hear the sound of an abundant rain. I hear the sound of an abundant rain. I hear rain is coming. I hear rain is coming. I say, I hear rain is coming. But while we are waiting for that rain, I heard God ask me a question. Can you stand the rain? The title of the message this morning is, Can You Stand the Rain? Father, I thank you for the chance and the privilege you've given us to be here on the last Sunday of the 8th month of 2021. As we see and we hear the sound of an abundant rain. Thank you for being our rainmaker. Send that rain even right now. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Just before you sit down, ask 3 persons, can you stand the rain? Three persons, ask them, can you stand the rain? Sit down. I'm excited to be here. Every opportunity like this I don't, of course your pastor is not just a friend, he's a brother, so I don't have to say much about him. And I've seen what God is doing. There are a few things that I've shared with him, and he knows that I will never share with anyone. And it has to do with the kind of trust that I have for him. And I trust that the hand of the Lord is upon him, evident in all of your lives and the things that we see. And every time I come back to Nigeria and I see him, and I see him on a new level, it means that God is still at work here in Intimate Vessel. Can you help me celebrate my friend and brother, your pastor, your papa? Come on, let's celebrate him. Hallelujah. And of course, the first lady is not here today, but we have to celebrate him as well. Come on, let's celebrate Dr. Angie Akanwa. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I want to thank all of the leadership, Pastor David, all of the pastors and church workers. Job well done. And by the way, for that beautiful praise, can you celebrate the praise team one more time? Can you stand, Lorraine? It is important to know what God is saying, but it is more important to know when he's saying it. The weight of God's word is not in the speech, but the weight of God's words is in the season when that word came. And so a few days ago, I was getting ready for this particular service, and I heard God ask that question, can they stand the rain? And so it's not about the question, it's about when the question was asked. If the question is asked at this season of abundance, it means that there is an abundant rain that is coming. By the way, from the scriptures, the rain is a symbol of blessing. God, even though sometimes it's been used as a symbol of burden, but most of the time the rain is a symbol of a blessing. And when the scripture we read, of course, I have to take just one scripture to deal with what I want to deal with, because God had a conversation with a man called Noah. How many of you know that story? And God said to Noah, I'm about to send what? Rain. Somebody say rain. I'm about to send rain. But I want you to go build an ark. There is no link between an ark and the rain. An ark, to survive the rain, you need a shelter or an umbrella. But if we are looking at the ark, it means that we are talking about surviving a flood. And yet God did not say, I will send a flood. He said, I will do what? Send a rain, but then build what? An ark. Are you following me? And so when God said, I will send rain, but I want you to build an ark, it means that God was futuristic. By the way, when God speaks to you, he's not talking about where you are at the moment. He talks about where you are going. What is a flood is a result of excessive or an uncontrollable rain. Are you following me? Flood is a result, as a result of what? An excessive or uncontrollable rain. So when God said, I am sending rain, but I need you to build an ark, not an umbrella, it means that God was not concerned about the rain that he's sending, but he is concerned about the flood that will come as a result of the rain. And so, the issue is not the rain. The issue is the flood. God has no problem sending you rain, but he has problem because you cannot deal with the flood that comes with the rain. Hello, someone. Many of us have believed God and trusted him for so many things, and we are yet to receive it. It's not because God does not have that thing in his warehouse. If you're asking God for a job, doesn't mean that God doesn't have enough job in his warehouse. If you're asking him for a miracle, he has a bunch of them in the making. If you're asking them for a husband or a wife or whatever you think that you're asking for, he has a bunch of it, right? That is a rain that you're asking him to send, but he is not sending the rain, not because you can handle the rain, but because when the rain comes, it's gonna come with flood. And if you cannot deal with the flood, then you are not ready for the rain. Follow me gradually. I want to make sure we understand where I'm going with all of this talk. I am sending the rain, but I needed to build an ark. Because the rain will come and end. And then at the end of the rain, something begins. That is what? The flood. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah, when the enemy come against us, like what? Flood. I will do what? I will raise a standard by my spirit. Isn't that what the Bible said? And so God is not destroying the earth with rain. He'll destroy the earth with what? The flood. Rain is not destructive. It's flood that is destructive. I know some of you have seen young people make money and they say the money just makes them up. Money don't make nobody up. It is the flood that comes out of the money that makes it you up. And so when God is talking about the flood and the ark, he's talking about the aftermath of the blessing. Can you stand to be blessed? Can you really stand it? What you're asking for, can you handle it? I probably will take time to split it into internal and external flood. The internal flood is probably when pride and disconnection begins. Some of you are not where you want to be because God knows that if he gives you what you are asking for, you are going to be a mess. Now, I need you to pay attention because God said, I'm going to send a rain to you, but I need you to build an ark. And the Bible said that rain never came until the ark was done. Don't forget, the ark is for the flood, not for the rain. But God cannot send the rain until the ark that will stop the flood comes. You cannot survive the flood without an ark. But you are not seeing the flood. But God is that God that knows and sees the ending of the matter from where? The beginning. We can see to the corner, but God can see around the corner. We can see to the hills, but God can see over the hills. Are you following me? Rain, I promise you, is going to come, but trust me, I will keep it until the ark is built. No matter how many umbrellas you have, I'm not going to release the rain because I need you to build the ark and finish it before I can send you the rain. The internal flaw could be a flaw of pride. I have seen people, listen, man of God, you don't know who is humble when they are poor. Poverty and humility are twin brothers. They go together. You see that young man is, oh, how humble he is. He is poor, he's not humble. It is poverty that is humbling him. Oh, he's loyal. He's poor. The true test of loyalty is when that person begins to have the same thing that he used to get from you. That you know whether he's humble or not. That humble young man, give him some millions. He will turn tiger in a minute. Are you following me? And God is watching it. This is a flood that is coming. You're not ready for the flood, so you can't have the rain. You've been committed to church and committed to me. I love you enough not to lose you. I'm not going to bless you so that you can get out of my presence, because you're going to be vulnerable and the enemy is going to mess with you. Are you following me? Many are married, and young couples are married and trusting God for breakthrough in their marriage. For my husband, God, I'm trusting you. God said, I'm not going to do it. If I give him what you're asking for, you lost the marriage. Trust me. I still want you to stay married. And so the rain will be up until an ark is built. Not only are you building an ark, you have to finish the ark. And I can send the rain. If I send the rain now that you're asking me, brother, bless my husband with money. If I give him that money, he will marry three wives over your head. Am I making sense to anyone this morning? So I am seasoning. That is a tanner. Many of you will stop coming to church once you make money. You say, Pastor, what you need? Don't tell me. I don't have time to come to church, but I'll be sending my offering. That's a flood. It came as a result of the blessing. That's flood. And you don't have an ark to survive it. That's internal, right? Then there is one another who go out. External. We were talking yesterday. Can you stand the envy that will come from people around you? You are still complaining that people don't like you. You are not ready to be wealthy. Huh? You still have problem with people that don't like you. No, you are not ready yet. Listen to me. In this kingdom, who hates you does not matter. What matters is who likes you. Am I making sense to you? In this kingdom, who hates you? What? You know who matters? The one that like you. Not the one that hates you. If you are still worried about how many people likes you and how many people hate you, you are not ready. Because the blessings of the Lord attracts trouble. Wow. It attracts envy. If all of you are on the same level, everybody will be good to you. Wait until God pushes you one step over. By the way, do you know when you are standing up, your nakedness is view from the people on the ground? That's when people that you used to be very friendly, all of you do the same thing, all of a sudden they just hate you for nothing. Why will you be the one to be blessed? Why not them? What did Joseph do to his brothers before they got him messed up? Is that the Bible said, and his father made him what? Coat of many colors, that's where the problem happened. And the Bible said, and the brothers did what? Envied him. Listen to me, it may not sound theologically correct, but I can tell you, when people are envying you, be excited. I've had people come to me and say, Pastor, I don't know the problem. In this office, everybody envies me. And I don't know, sometimes I don't feel like going to work. I say, you're not ready yet. If you cannot handle the envy, then you cannot have the blessing. You have to be able to handle the envy, because the envy is the flood that came as a result of the blessing, which is the rain. So when the rain comes, it's going to bring flood. So when the blessing and the promotion comes, it's going to bring envy from the people that you used to like. And so what God is asking you is to do what? To build an ark that can handle the flood that will come as a result of the rain. Because the rain that I'm sending is going to be excessive. It's not going to dry in a moment. It's going to produce flood. And so my assignment next morning is, as we talk about kingdom abundance, is for me to prepare your ark for you. Hallelujah. Are you following me? To help you do what? Build an ark. To help you do what? Build your own ark. Your ark may not be my ark. But everyone that expect rain from God, everyone that must receive rain from God, must have an ark well built. Well built. Many of us did not start enjoying what we enjoy now all of a sudden, but God prepared for it. Of course, you know the story how I had to leave Liberia and move over to the United States because of what? Envy. When I was in that nation, I owned the very first Pentecostal radio station in the country. Think about a foreigner owning the first Pentecostal radio station in the country. And I took my office 5 minutes away from the president's office. How is he doing that? And the pressure got so high. You are aware of it. And I told my wife, I said, it's time to leave before they give me for nothing here. Why am I saying this? I said, listen to me. God had to help you build that ark until that card ark is built. I don't know where you are right now. Maybe many of you are already building. But trust me, until that ark is finished, no drop of rain will come down. No drop of rain will come down. You're not building the ark because of the rain. You're building the ark because of the flood that will come as a result of the rain that is coming. Because the rain is coming. I hear the sound of an abundant rain. For somebody here, I hear the sound of an abundant rain. For somebody here, I hear the sound of an abundant rain. If you're the one, come on, lift your hand and shout, I receive it. Building the ark. As a matter of fact, I don't have a note here. Building the ark. God gave Noah a full description, detailed, meticulously described what the ark, the height, the length, the material, everything was described. And it shows to me, number one, take note of that, God does not build by desire. He builds by design. I know many of you have prayed a prayer, God grant the desires of my heart. God does not operate by desire. He operates by design. By design. Not desire. If wishes were horses, who are supposed to be riding them? You would desire all you want until it is falling into the design of God. He cannot handle it. God builds by design. The God we are talking about is not a God of accident or anyhow. It's a God of intentionality. God is an intentional God. Everything he does it for a reason. Everything he says it for a purpose. He is intentional. If God is silent in your life, he is silent on a purpose. Hello, someone? When God is speaking, he's doing something. When he is silent, he's also doing something. Have you ever been in a place where you think God is silent in your life? Let me see your hand. And you feel you want him to say something and he's not saying anything. Like you call him to do something and he's not doing anything. Let me help you a little bit. God's silence is not necessarily his absence. That's the one point. Then secondly, I want you to know that God speaks louder in silence than in words. What you see as silence, there is a voice of God silent. And the voice of his silence speak louder than the voice of his statement. Let me give you a little idea. If some of you, all of us here grew up with African mother, so let me not use Africa because we're all Africans. I mean Africa. If your mother take you as a child and take you to a program or take you to a friend's house and they brought something, minara, and you know you, minara and jollof rice. And you know, as a child, when was the last time your mother brought you minara? Then they bring minara to you. And you're eyeing the minara. Your mother will just look at you like this. And move his eye from there. Huh? No statement. No. Eh? And the owner of the house come to you and say, do you want buns to add to it? You're about to say something and your mother look at you. He said, no. No statement. No word, nothing is spoken. But your mother has written a long email to you at that point. Long email. She just sent you a long email. You know what that eye look means. If you touch it, when we get home, you go here where. Mkachageta. Mkachage mbago se. Okuoku ya nonu. Hello? He did not say it. Eh? But you heard it. So if it's possible that you can hear the voice of someone's silence. You heard what she said. Even without uttering it. Many times when you think God is silent, he's saying something. Our problem is that we are used to God said. And we are not used to when God is not saying anything. What is he saying? Sometimes God doesn't want you to hear anything. He just wants you to see something. You want to hear. God said no. You told Jeremiah, come. Go to the potter's house. I'm not going to say a word to you. Go and see. Hello? Sometimes you're waiting for God to say something. God, I want you to see. God does not build by desire. He builds by design, which means, listen to me, your life is a design on his platform. What God allows in your life, he's going to use it. If he doesn't need it, he will not allow it. Somebody threw you out of the house and felt you're nothing. It's because you need to be thrown out. If you didn't need to be thrown out, if throwing out was not part of the design, nobody would throw you out. You were thrown out because it was part of the design. God gave Noah a design and observe him as he built the design. He said, this one will be 2 inches, and this one will be 4 inches, the length will be 15, the other one will be... None of them will miss a thing. Your life is a puzzle. How many of you know the puzzle game? You have to put the pieces together to be able to see the color and the picture of what they're doing. Growing up, there's a little puzzle of an elephant or a chicken or a leopard. You look at the picture and you sort the picture and then they scatter it, right? And then you start doing what? Putting it together. That is how your life is. Listen to me. Every event, none of your event or no event in your life is isolated. None. No isolated event in your life. Every event is connected to another event and connected to another event and connected to another event. Even when you were still a little baby, that abuse that you went through is connected to the lifting of today. There is no isolated event in your life. Because it is a design. It is all interconnected. All of them. Why you were 2 years? Why you were 15? Why you were 3? Why you were 20? When you were 25? When you got to 30, for those of you already 30, they are all connected. Every one of them. Without this one, there wouldn't be this one. Without this one, there wouldn't be the other one. That money you lost is the reason why you're having a breakthrough again. Are you with me? Your friends lied about you. That's the reason why God will do what he wants to do in your life. There are so many questions you've asked God. You say, God, why me? Why all this thing? There's nothing wrong with asking God questions, but I want you to know that God will not answer you. But as time goes on, you will see the answers yourself. You will get to a point and say, okay, now I see. Oh, now I understand why this thing happened. Because everything has a reason for happening. That man wanted to marry you, paid your dowry, all of a sudden he changed his mind and you want to commit suicide. Please don't commit suicide. That is part of the design. Maybe you didn't know that God just saved you from a heart attack. Number one, God does not build by desire, he builds by what? I'm not hearing. God does not build by desire, he builds by what? By design. Secondly, the ark is not a place of comfort. It's a place of safety. Hello? The ark is not a place of what? Comfort is a place of what? Safety. God is not concerned about your comfort. He's concerned about your safety. There's nothing comfortable about the ark. Some of you that do business, they shut down every Monday for iPod. You want to kill yourself for it. But these guys were shut down in the ark for over 10 months with animals. No school, nothing, no business. Shut down in the place for over 10 months. It's not about comfort. It's about the what? The safety. If you're still making decisions based on your comfort, you will die in that comfort zone. What God is asking you to do is to learn how to take steps in the face of serious danger. Courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is the ability to keep at it, even in the presence of fear. Every greatness is born out of a movement from a comfort zone to a zone of trouble. No greatness is born. Peter was in the boat with everybody else.
and Jesus was coming, and everybody, nobody cares about leaving the boat, but Peter realized that we may be in the same grade, but we are not of the same grace. We may be disciples with Jesus in the same boat, but your destiny is not my destiny. The only way I can realize my destiny is if I step out of here, which means Peter was willing to get out of where people are trying to get into. I'm going to say this one more time. Peter, the boat on a river, is where everyone wants to be in. Are you following me? The boat, when it's raining, everyone wants to go under the shelter. True of us. If you get caught up on the road, you don't have an umbrella, and there is a shelter somewhere, when the rain starts, everybody will run in there. The boat on top of the river is the only safe place that everyone will be running to the boat. But where everyone else were running to, Peter was running from there. You know why? If you follow the crowd, you will lose your crown. Let me say it again, because I want it to sink into your heart. If you follow the crowd, you will lose your crown. God did not call you to fit in. God called you to stand out. Hallelujah. The reason why you are doing what you are doing is because you saw other people doing it. No! No! That's not where your destiny is. You are different from them. If it did not work for them, does not mean it will not work for you. You have a separate destiny. You have a different destiny. Not because it did not work for them, so you think it will not work for you. No. In case it did not work for them, well, that is their own trouble. But for me, I am a different person. Because when all that are talking and singing the song of casting down, my story will be different. I will be speaking about what? Lifting up! Listen to me, in the same nation of Nigeria, everybody is crying, things are tough, no money, in the same place. People are transacting billions and millions every single day. So if things are tough, it's not because the president is not working well. Because you're not working well. Opportunities are in three places. Number one, opportunity is in places. Number two, opportunities are in problem. And number three, opportunities are in people. Places, problems, and what? And people. When, listen, Joseph was in jail with a lot of people. What is good about jail? How many of you have been to jail before? Even if you go, you will not raise your hand. It's not a good place to be. But Joseph was in a place called jail, but he understood that there is an opportunity in a place. So his problem is not the place. His problem, your problem will not be the place where you are. Your problem will be your inability to discern the opportunity that is in the place. Oh, come on, now Moses was walking in the bush, all of a sudden God said, hey, listen. Stay right there, take up your shoes, come on. He said, why? He said, but don't you know that this place, this particular place where you're standing, is where your destiny will be turned. This place! He said, how? But I pass here every day now. Huh? I pass here every day. In the book of Genesis, Jacob was traveling and he decided to rest his head on a pillow. And he woke up in the morning, so the Bible says he had a dream. And in that dream, he saw what? Angels ascending and condescending. He woke up in the morning. He said, I was here and I did not know. Pay attention to me. I did what? Not know that God was where? In this place, and I was here. He said, okay, he left. The next time it happened, the next time he was lying down, and all of a sudden an angel appeared. He said, this time around,
oh come on now, this time around, I am holding on to you. The first time I lost it out of ignorance, I did not know that while I was coming to intimate vessel, that God was in this place. But right now I know that God, you are here. I am grabbing you, and I will not let you go unless you... in the place.
I did it because I said I didn't know that God was here. And I came out slept off, was snoring in my sleep while God was here. But no problem, the night is over. They have broken, another time will come. Just, Shabia, don't lose the first one. Make sure I go lose the second one now. And that day he came, he spotted the angel again. He said, no way, sleep will clear from my eye. I am waking up in the middle of the night, and I'm grabbing hold of you. Listen to me. The guy said, make a wakana. He said, you are not going anywhere until you bless me. I knew you came to bless me the first time, but I missed it out of my ignorance. But God is a God of second chance. I may have lost it the first time, but on this second chance, I'm not losing it.
Opportunities in problems, opportunities in places, and opportunities in people.
Thank you, sir. While we were growing up, man of God, if you remember the last time I came here, I said in my last book, I said one of the greatest challenges we have in this generation, especially ministry, is that we accept everything that was passed on to us from our fathers in the Lord without any investigation. And some of the revelations that were taught us, that we are preaching, the one that brought the revelation is dead. If he was alive now, he would have stopped preaching that message. And yet we are preaching it. Are you following what I'm saying? And one of the things they tell you, once you have God, you don't need anyone. They are fooling you. It's not true. This is a word of men. The blessings come from God through men to men. The book of Luke chapter 2 verse 52, the Bible said, and Jesus grew in stature, in wisdom, and in what? And favor with who? God and what? Listen to me, even Jesus could not afford to lose the favor with men. Remember the statement I made earlier, I said, who hates you doesn't matter. It's who likes you that matters. Are you following me? If you have favor with God, Oga, find one with men too. Favor with God will not prosper you. It's favor with man. Are you following me? You have favor with God, you have peace with God. But if you must prosper, then you will need what? Favor with man. We'll leave that message for another day. Because there are people that God sent your way, they call them destiny helpers. These are men that God equipped, empowered, and designed just to help you fulfill your destiny. Yes. They call them what? Destiny helpers. They are divine connectors. They may not help you, but they know who can help you. Huh? They may not have the ability to do what? To help you, but they know who can help. They can connect you to one that can help you. And so tell me when you're telling everybody, I don't need anybody in my life. I have God. Huh? You don't need anybody in your life. You will die a holy comma. Holy. Holy. But what? Poor. Because you have God, for you have nobody. And it comes from God through a man to a man. Are you following me here today? So I'm telling you, the ark is not a place of comfort, it's a place of safety. Not comfort. And that takes me to the third one. And the third one, what was the first one? God is what? God builds by design and not desire. And the second one, the ark is not a place of what? Comfort, but a place of what? Safety, which means you have to develop your mind. If you are thinking comfort in this life, you are thinking poverty. Simple. If you are still thinking comfort, it means that you are thinking poverty. If the reason why you're marrying a guy is because he's doing well, you don't have a future. Huh? You don't have what? You yourself don't have a future. Hello, someone. I say hello. Can I go? Can I continue? I know some of you, they have taught you cut your coat according to what? Don't agree with them. That doesn't work at all. If all my coat is according to my size, which means that no room for growth now. No room for growth. When Pastor David is talking, okay, Pastor David, you're building a church of almost 1,000 capacity. Do you have 1,000 people here now? You should build the size of your church now. Why are you building that, man? What? You don't have 1,000 people here. But yet you are looking for 1,000 capacity, spending all your money. Because you are creating room for... That nonsense, cut your coat according to the... It will kill you. No. Buy oversized. How many of you will have a growing child and you want to buy shoe for them for the Christmas and you buy their exact size? Who many of you does here? Nobody. You will buy what? At worst case, you can put pepper inside for that year. Why are you buying oversized? So that by next year...
Thank you, Pastor! Oh!
Pastor, let me share this word to the blessed memory of my late mom. When I was coming to science school, we were going to dormitory, we were buying plates. They said we would be eating in the school. Everybody, you know, buy plates for your children to go. My mother went to the market and bought one of the biggest plates. And I didn't know this, that the plate was actually big until I went to school. When I went to school, they would give this small akamo. The thing would just papara one side like this. Empty bowl. And everybody that came to school came with small. My one was the biggest. So, when I went for holiday to my mom, I said, I don't want this plate again. He said, no. No. You have to take this big one so that whoever that is giving you the food, when they see the space, they will feel for you and add some more to it. Their conscience will not let them take to a small, if you put in a small bowl, it will fool the place. But if the bowl is big, the people have conscience now. I say, no, mama, it's a measurement. He said, leave that measurement. Is it a human being that created measurement? He said, the person that is measuring it, when you put it in your plate, you see that there is nothing there. God will touch his heart now. To add some more to it. And I was convinced that I carried the plate. Even though it never happened. It is two akara. You know now. Two akara and akamo. You can't give you three. It's two. One, two. One, two. Whether you walk again with a bucket, It's only two you will take. But what am I saying? The woman understands the principle of growth. Cut your coat according to your size is a lie. Create room for growth. Create it. You may not look like what you're talking about, but keep talking about it. Hello, someone here? Keep saying it! Well, number what are we, sir? So I'm going for three. No, I just said three. Okay, I'm going to three. Good. For 10 months, Noah and his family stayed with animals. So number three, learn how to survive with animals. Hello, someone? Learn how to do what? If you're building an ark, you must know how to survive with animals. Listen to me, that place you're working in, that your school, those people around you are animals. Some of them want to tear you into pieces. Am I talking to somebody here? There are serpents in the midst of them. Serpent is a very corny one. Green grass, green snake in a world. They are part of them. They are in your class. They are in your office. There are tigers. Left with them. You shouldn't be in this office. Everybody there does not like you. They are animals. Why you're complaining is because you don't know how to survive with them. Are you following me? Because God is training you to survive with what? Animals. Oh, Jesus had 12 of them. In that one, there is one that doubts him. Everything that he says, he doubts him. It was there. Huh? There's another one that betrayed him. There's another one that denied him. One day he was in the table and he was put. He said to the people, he said, someone, one of you here, three, we have 12. He said, yeah. He said, but one of you will do what? Will betray me. Everybody said, no. Nobody can do that. And somebody said, but tell us who is the person. He said, watch me. When I put my hand in that plate, anyone that follow me, let me be the person. So which means Jesus actually knew that. And how did he even know? He knew that Judas does not like him. Judas does not value him. And he was still keeping him. How did I know that Jesus knew that Judas did not like him? There was a woman they call Mary Magdalene. He came with the alabaster box. Very expensive oil. Very expensive. And he came to honor Jesus, who happens to be Judas' pastor. He came to do what? To honor Jesus. You know what Judas said to the woman? You know what Judas said to Jesus? He said, why will you allow this woman to use this oil on you? We should have sold it and give the money to the poor. What he just told Jesus is that you are not good enough for this kind of thing. He never reached this one. Which one are they now? Are you following me? So that tomorrow when somebody look at your pastor and give him a 2015 GL450 Benz, and you say, Pastor, I know you want to drive this car, but why don't we sell the car and put in the project? Which project? As if you like the project. If you like the project, how much have you given in the project? Judas that talk about the poor. How many times have you heard in the Bible that Judas gave to the poor? It was not about the poor. It's about Jesus not qualifying for the honor. Am I talking to somebody? Yes, sir. And so Jesus knew all of that, but Jesus knew the animals. How do I survive with animals? I'll give you a few things that will help you. Then I'll run this message up and then we'll go home. Number one, how do I survive with animals? Number one, know them. Identify them. They are not all animals. Don't take them all as what? Animals. Call a tiger. A tiger. Call a snake. And deal with a snake like what? And deal with a tiger like what? Deal with a dog like what? The reason why you are surprised at what she did to you
is because you thought the dog was a sheep. So when the dog began to bark, you became a surprise. But if you knew that she was a dog, you would not be surprised when she start barking. Because dogs are meant to bark. So if dogs are meant to bark, when she start barking, you will not be, because you already know that she is. But if you thought that she was a chicken, and you're dealing with her like a chicken, tomorrow morning when she start barking, you will turn back and say, why, what is happening here? The reason why you're surprised is because you did not know. So identify the people. Are you following me here? Am I helping you this morning? Identify them. Know who they are. There are givers and there are takers. All of them are needed. It is the taker that makes you the giver. If there is no taker in your life, you cannot be a giver. Because what you are giving, somebody must take it. If nobody is taking what you are giving, what makes you a giver? The problem is not that there are takers in your life. The problem is that you did not know that they are takers. So when you are looking for somebody to give you, you went to the takers and asked them. And so when they disappointed you, you got mad. Why will you be taking from me? Won't be giving to me. No, he's a taker. The job is to do what? He's to take. He's in your life to qualify your giving. He's in your life to authenticate your giving. And the Bible said give and it shall be what? So the only way you can be part of the candidacy of that blessing of give and it shall be given back is when somebody is what? Taking from you. So the reason why they are there is to authenticate your candidacy and not to give you. When it was your turn, you asked me, I gave you, now it's my turn. I asked you, you so excuse, because they are not givers. Know who they are. And once you know who they are, you put them in their place. People function well when they are in their right place. Huh? You take a snake and put it in the dog place, it will never operate well. Let me say this, it's going to shock you. People don't change. People don't change. Read my lips. People don't change. Oh, since he got there, since he has a new job, he has changed. People don't change. What happened is that the situation reveals who they actually are. Men are built with a strong sense of adaptability. That's how men are built. We are built with a strong sense of adaptability, which means we can adapt to any situation. Huh? If it means me licking your food to be getting food for you, I will do. Doesn't mean I'm a food licker. Huh? Give me a promotion, then you know whether I was a food licker or not. Then call me the next day after I've got my car. He said, I didn't see you yesterday to come and lick your food. He said, lick your what? You lick your own self food. And then you say, this guy had changed. No, he did not change. Situations and seasons reveals our real self. Your ark, number one, God builds by design, not by desire. It's an intentional thing. Intentional. Number two, your ark is a place of safety, not comfort. If it was about comfort, no, I won't get in there. Are you following me? If it was about comfort, no, I won't be there. It's about safety. And then number three, survive with animals.
Because you will have them. You will have the haters. When you know that someone does not believe in what you tell, if you tell them anything about good, about yourself, he doesn't believe you, why will you waste your time telling them? You're frustrated they didn't believe you. You know why? Because you wasted your time telling them. Why did you waste your time telling them? Because you didn't even know who they are. Once your ark is built, the rain will come down. Rise upon your feet. Rise upon your feet. The materials you have to build the ark may not be, all the materials that you need to build the ark may not be available. But if God is asking you to do it, it means it's possible. Availability and possibility, they're not the same. Something may not be available, but it can be possible. Many of you, your reign is just at the verge of coming. You may not see the cloud, but I'm hearing the sound of an abundant rain. What you're seeing will never change what God says. But what God says can change what you see. What you're seeing can never change what God says. But what God says can change what you see. You may not see the cloud, but God said there's going to be rain. It's not about the cloud. It's not about what you see. It's about what God is saying. I heard God in my spirit. Rain is coming. When I prayed this prayer, when I knew I was coming here and I prayed this prayer, God send rain. And God asked me the question, can they stand the rain? And I said, God, teach me to teach them to build their ark so that they can be ready for the rain. Let me go over it one more time. I said, God, send rain to intimate vessel. That was my prayer. And I prayed this prayer for many days. God, send rain. God, send rain. And after a few days, God asked me, can they stand my rain? And that question that God asked me has brought about the message that you heard today. In case they can't stand it by the inspiration of God, let me teach them how to build their ark so that they will be ready for the flood that will come after the rain. Lift your hands. I want to pray that same prayer one more time. Lift your hands. It's a simple prayer. And that simple prayer is, God, send rain. Because I believe that someone is getting ready for the flood. With your hands lifted, ask God to send you rain. Ask God to send you rain. Lord, send rain. Lord, send rain. Lord, send rain. Open your mouth, ask God. This is a prayer I want you to pray from the depth of your heart. I hear the sound of an abundant rain. I hear the sound of an abundant rain. I hear the sound of an abundant rain. Rainmaker, send rain. And the Bible says it rained 40 days and 40 nights. Lord, let it begin to rain upon my life. Can you open your mouth and pray that prayer? Father, send rain. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. And Father, I ask you on the 14th, the 15th, the 16th, and the 17th day of August, I say, God, send rain to these people here. I pleaded with you for rain. And you ask me, can they stand it? Lord, I could not answer that question then. But Father, I come to answer it. With what we have been through this morning, Lord, I believe they can stand it. Therefore, Father, let the rain begin now. Father, let the rain begin now. 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 Let it rain, Father, upon these people. Let it rain on their career. Let it rain on their studies. Let it rain on their destiny. Let it rain on their plans. Let it rain on their marriages. Let it rain on their families. Let it rain. Lord, let it rain. Lord, let it rain. Lord, get them wet with your rain. As you prepare them for the flood, let the rain fall. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name. I said, in Jesus' precious name. I said, in Jesus' precious name. I said, in Jesus' precious name.